All the scientists are running around looking for the monkey, but he can't be found, 'cause he's down by the pond playing hockey with the kids.
And all the mothers. Welcome back to that 590 show. Looking for their children, but they can't be. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph playing Hockey Monkey by the Zambonis. Surprised this song doesn't get more run by people. It's a catchy little tune. But we're very happy to have on the Belmont Automotive phone line with us our friend Pete Jensen from the NHL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at NHL Jensen. Pete, how are you, sir?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back on. Let's talk about the big news of the day, though. The Nashville Predators, they lose center Ryan Johansson for the remainder of the Stanley Cup playoffs because of an injury to his left thigh. How big of a blow is this to the Predators, who are now who now have an even series against the Anaheim Ducks?
Yeah, that's really sad news. I mean, not even just for the Predators, just for the hockey community in general, just because of what everyone knows he means to this particular team. I mean, we were talking about it a little bit in the office today. Look around the league. How many teams take away number one centers from every team in the league? What teams would be in worse shape than Nashville, at least from that standpoint? At least they do have a strong, deep defense. They do have two reliable goalies, but you know, maybe only the Arizona Coyotes. Like, there are so many teams out there, even teams that didn't make the playoffs, that could survive a loss to their number one center better than Nashville potentially could. This is a devastating blow to them. You look at their chances of beating the Ducks, I think it dwindles significantly when you look at how they're going up against Ryan Kessler, Ryan Getzlaf. And then if you get to the next round, you're either playing Turris, Brassard, Peugeot up the middle, or you're playing Crosby, Malkin, Bonino up the middle. So what looked going into game four as the Predators having a chance to win the whole thing right now, I mean, it's going to be tough for them to get out of this round. And I think their chances of winning the Stanley Cup, unfortunately, are very slim right now without Johansson.
So even if you think that if they were to survive the Western Conference Finals and make it to the finals, you don't think they're going to get past either Ottawa or Pittsburgh?
I mean, I would have picked them against either of those teams prior to the injury, but right now, I mean, I'm curious to see how they're going to play tomorrow in Game 5, which is going to be a huge game in Anaheim. But yeah, I would side with the East over the Predators, unfortunately, for Nashville's sake.
That was the first time that the Predators have lost a playoff game at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. What's made that place so intimidating to play for the opposition? I know they're loud and they have a lot of fun there. You know, I think I saw last night they had Kings of Leon in the stands, you know, waving the rally towels. They even throw a dead duck onto the ice, and it's kind of a college football. I mean, yeah, you're laughing. I think it's such a fun atmosphere, but I mean, why has it been so difficult for oppositions to win there?
Yeah, it's not just the noise, the decibel level at one particular moment or when the team scores. It's a constant. It's like a combination of a rowdy college crowd and a rowdy soccer crowd where the noise level is just consistent throughout. And I think the team has done an amazing job to market to its fans with this being a novelty to Tennessee in terms of the sport of hockey, but just to bring the celebrity aspect to it. I think they've done a really nice job. And, of course, for the non-traditional markets, I mean, it's pretty much them and Tampa Bay that have set themselves up for success as well as they have with the on-ice product being as successful as it's been. So it's been a combination of all things. They've had an impressive team to cheer for all these years, especially this year, adding Subban and adding Johansson two seasons ago. So they have a really nice roster, really nice on-ice product, and a very rowdy, untapped fan base in terms of professional sports. It's a great sports city. The Titans haven't been good for a while, so it's untapped, as I said, and they're taking full advantage of it here in the playoffs.
And I think the NHL, I mean, I'm not saying the NHL has a rooting interest on who gets to the Stanley Cup Finals, but I think the NHL would like to have seen like to see Nashville make it that far, because even though it's got a population, a metropolitan population of around 2.5 million, there are a lot of country music celebrities that live there or that go there. And I'm not saying that someone's going to tune into a hockey game who's never watched a hockey game before because Carrie Underwood's in the stands, but they might check it out if she sends out a tweet about how, she's there cheering on her husband and watching the game. They may tune in. So I think the NHL will kind of like that celebrity aspect that Nashville brings to the Stanley Cup Finals should they make it that far.
Yeah, no doubt. I think if they do make it that far, and, I mean, again, the odds are against them right now, it would have been much better for them to maybe steal a game, say if they were up 3-1, if they were to have come back last night and won. But yeah, if they make the finals, that's going to be quite the stage. It's going to be very exciting for the diehard hockey fan and also for the casual fan to be interested, and certainly for the non-sports fan to get interested into hockey and into sports in general. So, yeah, that would be a lot of upside if they were to make it, no doubt. And it would make the matchup against either Ottawa or Pittsburgh that much more compelling. But yeah, we're gonna see they're gonna be put to the test here. I mean, therefore, it's amazing to see if Nashville was to lose, say, Pecorine, or if they were to lose P.K. Subban or Roman Josi, they have the depth at those positions to overcome that without thinking twice. But it's just that their second-line center to Mike Fisher, who has no points in the playoffs, and then there's Colton Sissons and Colin Yarncroft. So it's a big drop-off. So that's pretty much the big fear with Nashville right now.
Let's talk about the other news that happened today. It looks like the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to be putting Matt Murray in goal and benching Marc-Andre Fleury. Do you think that this is the right move for Pittsburgh to make?
I mean, from a long-term standpoint, it makes sense. They went with Murray over Fleury last year. Fleury lost his job because of injury, and they didn't go back to Fleury. They knew that Murray they thought he was the better goaltender, and they were correct in that because he led them all the way. This regular season, Fleury played 35 or so games, so less than half. Murray was the clear starter. There was a point in the season where Fleury was not playing. He was playing maybe once or twice a month. So they've believed all season that Matt Murray is their better goaltender. I think that's a fair assessment. And certainly with the expansion draft and everything looming, say you went with Fleury and you lose the series, then you kind of have to turn to Murray and say, whether it's an apology or anything, they have big decisions to make this offseason. I think they know that, and they're trying to go with their goaltender of the future in a crucial game 4 against Ottawa, down 2-1 in the series.
Has Sidney Crosby looked right to you since he's gotten back from his concussion? Because I think that a lot of people are saying that he looks like he's a little bit off. Do you think that he's back to 100%, or what do you think is going on with Sid the Kid?
I think he's still pretty sharp. I mean, he scored a goal the last game, so he hasn't been non-existent. I just think that whether you're talking about Crosby or Malkin or Kessel, their whole offense, which has been just a dynamo all season, and their power play, which has been great for the past 5-10 years, has been shut down by this neutral zone press clogging system of Ottawa. I would attribute it more to that. I think that if Crosby was not healthy and ready to play, that he would not be playing. I think the Penguins have a good sense for that, and obviously the league with its protocol and everything would have a good sense for that. So I would attribute it more to Ottawa's swarming defense, because that has really put them as far as they've gone so far in this postseason. It's been impressive to see. You know, you look at how the Penguins are getting stifled by the Ottawa's defense, how the Rangers definitely missed an opportunity against them. But you start to attribute that more to Ottawa now, the longer that this thing goes, because Ottawa is a very deep team at every position. and they have arguably the best player in the playoffs right now in Erik Karlsson. So you start having to give credit where it's due with Ottawa a little bit where it comes to shutting down guys like Malkin, Crosby, and Kessel.
Pete Jensen from the NHL Network joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at NHL Jensen. Pete, when you watch Ottawa play, a lot of people think that their style of play is kind of boring because it is so heavy on the defense. They just want to get like maybe a one or two goal lead and then just clamp down. Do you think that that's going to be an exciting style? Should they make it to the Stanley Cup Finals and you're trying to get that casual hockey fan in, do you think that their style of play is appeasing to watch on TV?
I mean, no question an 8-7 game or a 6-5 game is more exciting than most 1-0 games. I think in certain 1-0 or 2-1 games where the opposing goalie is making ridiculous saves, that's a different story. You can have exciting 2-1 or 1-0 games. I mean, I do think that the Senators know that their best chance to win the series and to win the cup is to play this style, so I can hardly blame them for that. But, yeah, I mean, it's they're going this route. They're trying to disrupt the offense. Scoring is very exciting to average sports fans and high-octane play. But, again, this is a franchise in Ottawa that is a win-now team, definitely. And no one expected them to even make it this far. So it comes down to a team with their particular skill set playing to their advantages and playing to their strengths and wanting to put its best foot forward to try to do something that at least Canada hasn't done in a very long time to win the cup.
So I was going to say, do you think the entire country of Canada is pulling for Ottawa to win this thing? Because like you said, they haven't won since Montreal did back in 1993.
Yeah, they are. No doubt. They're pulling for them. I know that there's definitely some animosity playing in the same division as Toronto and Montreal, but I think Canada fans are putting that aside here. I think Erik Karlsson is having his coming out party in terms of being, I mean, he's been an elite player for a long time, scoring-wise, fantasy-wise, which is what I deal with. He's been very good. He had 82 points in 82 games last year, and they missed the playoffs, so I think that this is something to rally around for Canada. A lot of Canadian teams made the playoffs this year, 5 to be exact, out of 7. So I think it's definitely a changing of the guard. And if Ottawa were to get it done this year, then you look at the potential for Toronto and Edmonton in the years to come to possibly make the cup final. So it's an exciting time for hockey in Canada and resurgence for sure, because none of the teams made the playoffs last year.
Pete, we appreciate your insight as always, sir. Thank you again for your time, and we look forward to having you back on again during the Stanley Cup Finals.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, and enjoy the rest of the conference finals.
Thanks, Pete. We appreciate it. That is Pete Jensen from the NHL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at NHL Jensen. It is now time to head back to the F590 Show Sports Update Desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
Cardinals about 15 minutes away from getting underway against the San Francisco Giants. Michael Wacha will take the bump against the lefty Matt Moore. Moore and the Giants both a lot of struggles away from San Francisco. The Giants a 5.82 team ERA on the road. Moore, on the other hand, his ERA jumps up to 10.5 in his 4 starts on the road. Cardinals, a little bit change in the roster as Johnny Peralta has been called back up to the club and Mag Sierra heads down to AA Memphis. In action a little bit later, Cavaliers and the Celtics get underway. Game 2 between those two squads in the Eastern Conference Finals. Cavaliers again leading 1-0 there. And then you just heard us talking with Pete Jensen about tonight's Game 4 between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Ottawa Senators. Again, Matt Murray replacing Marc-Andre Fleury between the pipes for the Penguins as they look to tie that series up at 2 apiece. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Kevin Brackett film critic for RealSpoilers.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSDL.com.